demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Okay, this is an interesting story to me. Air Force Academy Superintendent Richard M. Clark has been named the next college football playoff executive director. Clark is a former star, stud linebacker at Air Force. He had an amazing career in the military that saw him rise up to, I think, a lieutenant general. Now, the reason why, obviously, this is an interesting story to me, his ties with Air Force, if he's going to be a college football playoff executive director, does that mean you have, if you're a Mountain West team, if you're a Group of Five team or a Group of Six or Group of Seven or Group of whatever, you have somebody now on your side really pushing to keep the system the same way that we were told it was going to be, meaning that, you know, they're going to take 4 or 5 champs from the Power Fives and then a champ from one of the Group of Fives, the better champ from one of the Group of Fives, and now maybe potentially take 2 champs from a group of whatever. I don't know what we're calling it because it's not the pack. It's not the Power Five anymore. There's 4. Still waiting to see what Oregon State and Washington State does. But that might be a move that I think leads to an ally for a conference like the Mountain West. So I'm interested. When are we supposed to know, Angel? Like, when are they going to tell us if the new playoff system is going to stay how they originally pitched it to us? It's got to roll out relatively soon, wouldn't it?
If they keep it the same, I don't think
you don't think they'll do anything.
But unless they, if they do make a change, they will announce it.
They'll have to make some kind of a change because there's no more Power Five unless we're still considering Oregon State and Washington State a Power Five.
They have the voting power of the Pac-12.
So
I was just looking at the playoff committee. These are the 12 people that make up, that pick the teams each week. There's a representative from Nevada, former head coach Chris Ault.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Chet Gladchuk is the AD at Navy. So you have a good spread of different inclusion for all these different programs and conferences.
So maybe this is just another guy that would really help bang that drum. Maybe he wouldn't.
Oh, he has obviously a higher up position, not just on the committee, but he's an executive director.
Yeah. I'll see what they say. This was the quote by Mark Keenum, Mississippi State president and the chairman of the CFP board. Said General Clark's experience leading the U.S. Air Force Academy as a 3-star general and also being a 4-year letter winner with the U.S. Air Force football team gives him a strong background to excel in this crucial leadership role. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot, Angel. I don't know where I sit on it. I'm going to be a little biased because I do want to see a Mountain West champ in the playoffs. I personally want to see that. What I've said that 15 years ago, I don't know. But I also know that nationally, it makes more sense to have your bigger schools in all of it and not having any of the smaller schools. But I still think that you could capture an essence of March Madness if you still allow a Group of Five champ to get in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be outcry and complaining if they don't do it. So it's up to the Mountain West to make themselves desirable. And Air Force was kind of your best shot at that. We'll see how they finish their season, but it's got to be more than Air Force.
Yeah, you got to have your Boise State's leading this thing. And CSU with its campus, with its field and facilities and all that, that would be something to promote if they can get this thing together. If you're a Mountain West school, you want CSU to kind of lead this thing. Obviously, you personally want to lead it, but if you can't, you want CSU to lead this because of their facilities. Boise State, you want kind of to lead this because of their reputation. Air Force is different. That's a different one. We were really hopeful that they wouldn't have laid an egg against Army last week, but they did. And that could have really set up, hey, this is a top 15 team, maybe. And if the rules were in place this year, Air Force could have made certainly a strong case to be that team. Like when we're looking at the college football rankings right now, Angel, like I know we've done this before, but based on what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, who would be the group of five school that would get in?
Tulane.
Tulane's there?
They're at 23.
So they'd be the one. And so then it would have been between Tulane and Air Force, and that gives you a realistic shot.
You also have Notre Dame hanging around in there, too.
Yes. Well, and that's the other issue, is nationally, I still think that...
I mean, obviously, the Group of Five champ would still have an automatic spot, depending on seeding and where an independent like Notre Dame could be, that could get changed.
Notre Dame is the biggest monkey wrench in all of this, because you say you're going to allow a Group of Five champ to get in, but nationally people are going to be really upset if a team like Notre Dame's left out, or any other popular team that's not a champ, because they're going to have so many at-large bids getting in. Well, that Group of Five is leaving out one of the sexy schools. They're leaving them out right now. That's how that would be. So again, this move, the reason I bring it up is with our story, is getting Air Force's Richard M. Clark in as an executive director might actually be a good move for these Group of Five, schools, for a guy that's going to go to bat for them and really try to make sure, okay, there's no Pac-12 anymore, so now could we potentially go two Group of Five schools in? And I've said this over and over over the years, not at first, but over time, you might start to see some of these schools get better, because if you're promised, hey, come to the Mountain West, you're a four-star guy, and you're a four-star guy, but you would be a bench player at some of these other schools. You wouldn't be playing for the next 2 years. You could come here to Boise State, and we could go win the conference championship, get a playoff spot. You're playing in a playoff bowl game in front of a lot more eyeballs.
You'd at least host a game.
Yeah,
you'd
be
get a guarantee
hosting a game.
Because the top two teams get a bye, and then the next four of those automatic bids would be hosting a playoff game.
And don't you think that more scouts, I mean, scouts go to a lot of different Mountain West games. I see them at CSU games quite often. I mean, there's one or two, depending on, like a Torrey Horton, now there's going to be a lot more. So there's scouts there. But if you're a good enough team and you win your conference championship, don't you think suddenly people are like, I haven't been following this team all year, but they cracked the top 25 and they are going to be a playoff team. Suddenly you got a bunch of scouts that are out in your facilities. It's just a great move. And again, that's where I think that the teams like Boise State and CSU would be able to gain more, because your selling point now is, hey, don't go be a bench warmer for 2 years in the Big 12 or the Big 10 or the SEC. Come here and be the man. Be Torrey Horton. Be Trey McBride. I just think that there's going to be more options to see the Trey McBride type guys. And again, Trey McBride's a unique story because he's local and all that stuff. But there's a lot of those guys that maybe they would have been riding the bench for a while, but instead you could come to a school and create a legacy just as one guy and blow it up and then help us do something we haven't done. And that's get our team into the playoffs and make some history here. Smitty says, my ideal college football playoff system is this. Each conference champ in the top 25 is eligible. And that's how it's going to be, right? Is it's you got to be in the top 25 as a champ. If you're should be, right? I guess Air Force isn't in the top 25 anymore, but they could still very well be a champ. So he's saying you got to be a top 25 team. Okay? All right. No champs in the top 25 fill remaining seeds. Yeah. And that's kind of how that's supposed to go, right? The at-larges are going to be top 25s.
Right now, it's the Power 5 champ is an automatic bid. The Group of 5 champ is an automatic bid. That makes up your six spots. Those teams, 3 through 6, will host a playoff game against the six at-large teams.
Yeah, and then you're at-large.
And that's whoever's left in the top 15 or so, depending on who's not a champ yet.
And then your at-large are going to be, obviously, you're obviously very successful schools, but not quite there to the champs.
Most
right.
likely.
Right. Your secondary SEC team, maybe even another SEC team. It'll just depend each and every year. Obviously, Notre Dame is in there. You know, I know they dropped off a little bit, but they're going to be in that mix. I'll read Smitty. This is good. Seeds 1 through 4 get a bye.
Yep.
Which is the case. Seeds 5 through 8 home. There you go. And that this Smitty, what you're saying is kind of what it's already set to do right now. So that's a positive. Subsequent rounds held bowl sites. Okay. Let bowl sites bid on each round.
So there's the New Year's Six bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Those are going to be the quarterfinals and semifinals.
Yeah. Let bowl sites bid on each round. Imagine the money that would come in. Every school and every conference deserves a shot at a national title and the payday. I've even said it further. Like, if you're a conference, if you're a champ, let's go to the playoffs. I know a lot of people don't like that. What are we at now for conferences? Are we at 10? Are there 10 conferences?
I think so.
10? You got... We're at 12 right now, right? That's going to be the plan, is to do 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
10 conference champs and 2 at-large. I know, you hate that. You hate the idea of that.
I don't hate it. It's just people don't want to see the Sun Belt champ take on the Big Ten champ. No, it's going to be Ohio State and Troy. Here we go.
Yeah! No. March Madness, bring it in. That's what March Madness... I know basketball lends itself to upsets, unlike football, but that's how you expand this more.
I mean, I could see a potential, if the Group of Five wants to do their own semi-playoff, I could see them doing that and kind of separating the Power Five from the Group of Five, minus the one Group of Five champ that gets a playoff spot.
Yeah, put them in lower tier against each other, and I don't know. I get what you're
because
saying.
Because it's one spot that's being fought over by the Mountain West, the American, the AAC, the MAC, all of those different conferences. And the best team of those five Group of Five conferences gets the bid. Everyone else is left off the side.
Mm-hmm. I know. In my mind, over the years, wanted to have a lesser tier team get in because I think it would, over time, it would spread it out, but it would suck for a while.
You could get an 8-3 you can get an 8-3 James Madison in a few years, and they would be your sixth seed and hosting a playoff game. And that would just kind of, not like it's a pity spot, but it's you're the highest Group of Five champ.
Yeah, and honestly, I've backed off a little bit on my whole every conference champ. I get what you're saying, because I'm there too. As just a college football consumer, I can't deny when I'm watching USC and Washington, I'm like, that's a brand of football right there,
if
man.
If the playoff committee wanted it their way, they would do the top 12 teams and that's it. Regardless of conference, regardless of championships, mm-hmm. they would just do it for the money.
Then why don't they?
Because they have to appease
because
the
those
group of five.
Other directors are saying, dude, as long as we still are calling them NCAA FBS teams, they got to have a shot at the table. We're not saying it's a big shot, but they've got to have a shot. And I agree with that. But this is why all that conference alignment stuff, when we talked about at the beginning of the season, Angel, we feared, some didn't fear, I feared, that it would ultimately lead to, okay, let's just wipe out the Group of Fives. It's four conferences, and we're treating this bad boy like the NFL. Which could still very well happen. I'd hate to see it selfishly. But I'm admitting that I'm being selfish about it because I'm a fan of Mountain West football. I cover CSU closely. I follow Wyoming. I follow Air Force. And so I want those guys to have a chance to get at that table. But I'll say I can separate myself at the same time and say nationally, nobody wants to see Air Force over Notre Dame in there. Or nobody wants to see Tulane over another, you know, a third, fourth place SEC team. Those are the facts. And that's why I think that this playoff committee has a lot of interesting things to decide over the next year or offseason or whatever. They are going to have to make a change. Like, they do have to do something. because it was five and one champs, Power Five. Well, with the Pac-12, you're not going to give it to the winner between Oregon State and Washington State. That was part of that thinking of moving them into a semi-Mountain West, but still the Pac-12, is they'd still have enough teams to justify being a conference, so therefore they'd get a seat at the table no matter what. But if I'm the College Football Playoff Committee, I'm not going to recognize what Washington State and Oregon State does as a conference unless overnight we see 10 new teams pop in and it's a brand new Pac-12, which I guess could still happen. You could see all the Mountain West, you know, the best of the West going to the Pac-12. You could see that still. I don't know how realistic that would be, especially with the TV deal up in the air for the Pac-12. It's a fascinating discussion. 21 minutes after the hour. Before I break here, let me tell you guys about a new sponsor of the program, True Safety. True Safety Services, CDL training as an accredited private occupational school through the state of Colorado. 25 years of CDL training experience. Maybe you're listening to this show and you've thought, you know, I've always thought about getting my CDL or something like that. I would like to at least reach out. Well, truesafetyservices.com. If you want to take a class, you want to get involved, use KFKA10 for 10% off first class. That's the code, KFKA10 for 10% off first class. That's truesafetyservices.com. 22 minutes after the hour. This is the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Steamway Florida Ceiling, family owned for over 35 years. Check out their 4,000 square foot showroom. They got everything. They proudly serve Greeley, Windsor, Loveland, Fort Collins, Severance, Eaton, all of Northern Colorado. Steamway Florida Ceiling at 970-373-5601. Better yet, check them out online. See for yourself. If you're in this remodeling mode on a budget, you can do it at Steamway Florida Ceiling. Steamway Floor to Ceiling. .com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The Colorado Avalanche lost their, and you asked the question yesterday, Angel, can the Avs keep it going at home? They lost their first home game of the season. And the bigger story, though, is Turi Lankanen is out for probably a little while. Very unfortunate play. That was a scary moment for him. He left the game in the second period. He was playing a puck into the corner. He had one hand on his stick, and then he took the worst of a monster hit. He went face first into the boards. There was no penalty on the play, and the Avs players didn't really seem to react. So, you know, you wonder, was it just more of a legal hit? He did get up, skated off the ice with some assistance, but he did not return to the game. Afterward, he was responsive, alert, had full movement. Jared Bednar, not sure how long he's going to be, what that's going to look like for him, but these guys are tough dudes, man.
Yeah, and I know Lekkonen's probably one of the toughest ones on the team for the Avs, and hope this doesn't falter them, hope this doesn't distract them too much, but obviously not enough to get the win last night. After a solid comeback effort.
Made it interesting. Scored, thought we were going to go to overtime with like 33 seconds left, and then the Kraken get a quick goal there, and then that ultimately ends the game. The Avs have had a little bit of a rocky road here after starting the season red hot. They've lost, I mean, it's just been back and forth for them. They obviously had the rough weekend 2 weekends ago, losing to Pittsburgh and Buffalo by a combined score of 8-0. Then they beat St. Louis, but then they got smoked by Vegas 7-0. Then they beat New Jersey and then the Kraken. So it's kind of just been back and forth for them. They'll play St. Louis tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It's a tough spot to be in. The Avs certainly have a couple of issues that they need to figure out as far as putting it all together. Although Bednar was pretty optimistic after the game, saying things like, "Hey, thought we played pretty good overall. We just had a few issues that we couldn't get over." So he certainly is not. It doesn't sound like he's worried at all with the last week or so for the Avs. But we'll see. They get back on the ice tomorrow at home against St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
It's a big weekend coming up, as they typically all are. Still some chances for the teams that we follow on the football side of things to make some noise, to go down swinging at least, maybe salvage a bowl season out of this, or the Broncos on Monday night win a game against the Bills, as unlikely as that might be. And we are having the conversation of, can this team squeeze in to the playoffs? So it is a really big weekend. And on the Broncos side of things, going up against the Bills, what's crazy with this team is I think Sean Payton is finally seeing it. You know, as much as at the beginning of the season he liked to throw Sean Payton or Nathaniel Hackett under the bus, and it's the worst coaching job ever, and Russ is a good quarterback, and we just got to get him in the right spot. I honestly think Sean's looking at it, realizing that, all right, less of Russ is more. That's been the M.O., for the Broncos, and we've discussed this and the running and all that, but how do you think Russell Wilson's dealing with that? I mean, his whole thing in Seattle, Angel, was, I want to cook. I don't want to be a part of your system, man.
His name's Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, I don't want to be a part of your system. I want to do my things. I want to be able to run around and just make plays. And now we're back to a full-on system, and it's not even necessarily the one I think Sean Payton wants to run. It's something different that's taking away from Russ's opportunities. Now, Russell Wilson was asked about that, and he said, according to the Denver Post, I love it when our guys are making plays. I don't really care who's getting in the end zone. All that matters to me is our guys are making plays. I love winning. I'm obsessed with it. I love seeing everybody get the shine. I'll be curious to see, Angel, if the Broncos at the end of this season come at him and ask for him to work with them on his contract so that they can make more room, if that whole I'm obsessed with winning thing actually plays a role. Because they're going to have the trajectory that they're on right now still leads them to having a pretty good draft pick. Beat Buffalo. I think we're talking differently, at least as far as having a top five draft pick. So they're going to be able to improve their team with a pick either way in the first round, you hope. But they're going to need to get more guys on this roster. They're going to have to get better. If Greg Dulcich isn't the answer, and I know he's seeing like this specialist to try to figure his hamstrings out and everything, but they got to have a better tight end. You know, you've got to make sure McGlinchey's the guy. Do you need a better center at this point? Make that offensive line a little bit better. The wide receiver side of the things. If Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton aren't the guys, are you looking for another receiver? Defensively, getting the pass rush better. There's a lot of holes that need to be filled. And I was thinking about this the other day. If, you know, I was listening to that press conference and Russ saying, I'm obsessed with winning. I don't care who gets in. It might come down to, dude, we need you to restructure your contract a bit so that we can just get one other guy coming in, one other piece to this puzzle. That's where I guess we'll find out if Russell Wilson really is obsessed with winning. Because you can't say you're obsessed with winning and not be willing to do whatever that takes. Tom Brady got that and was still paid handsomely for it, but he got it. Mahomes is kind of doing that. He's paid handsomely, but he's restructuring enough to make sense for another two or three big contracts on the roster. So that's where I really want to see how Russ handles this. You know, and if you keep seeing that throughout the course of the season, what is winning games, that's not you making plays and cooking.
That's relying on Javonte Williams running the ball, getting 100-plus yards, and Jaleel McLaughlin chopping up some nice big home run-type plays, and then defensively just making stops. If Russ can look in the mirror at the end of the season and say, I'm not playing like my contract says I should be. It's kind of like our thing about Michael Porter Jr. Good player doing all the right things, and he's rebounding and getting assists. But at some point, you want to see the contract match the output. And I think that's the situation we're in with Russell Wilson.
I could see that. I could also see, as bad as last year was and the contract, maybe he doesn't feel like he earned it. And then just from a number standpoint, you could sit at the table and say, hey, my numbers are better than last year. You pay me what you said you're going to pay me.
Which would suck. Which would prove that he's not obsessed with winning. That he's good with winning, but I'm more obsessed with the big contract that I got. And I get it. You signed it. George Payton signed it. The Broncos agreed to it, so give me my money.
Living up to that contract as it pertains to his legacy. Where it's, oh, this team traded for you, paid all this money, and you just didn't do anything.
You've been an average quarterback.
Right.
I mean, last year he was below average. This year, I know his numbers would say otherwise, but I still think he's average. I still think he's an average-type quarterback. And the fact that they won two games devoting themselves to the run proves that you're not going to win games because of Russell Wilson. He's going to be a part of the ride, the Sean Payton bus. That's where Russ is right now.
Broncos country, let's ride.
And he's on. He's on the bus. Can you be a passenger and not the driver? Because I said this, and I'll bring it up again. At the beginning of last year, I said, this team will be successful if Javonte Williams is the feature. And he gets hurt. Things change. I get it. I still believe that now, though. Javonte Williams needs to be your guy. And in 5 years, if it's not Javonte Williams, it's a different running back, because we know the state of running backs in the NFL right now. This offensive line is having fun. They're pushing guys around. They are good at run block. And their numbers are huge the last 2 weeks. And we know the pass protection has been rough for them. So you got to go to your strengths, and that's what I think Sean Payton, though it's taken some time, I think that you have to go to your strengths and swallow your pride, and so does Russ, and try to get this thing right. You have a monster opportunity because of the last two wins. That's what happens when you win multiple games in a row. We're not used to that very much. You win multiple games in a row at the start of the early in the season, first half of the season. You put yourself at least back in the land of the living. You're not where Chicago is. You're not where, although they're kind of where Chicago is. Chicago winning last night. You know, I was listening on the Thursday night broadcast. Hey, this win, I know it's against Carolina, but now they're going to be 3-7. What does that do to them? Getting Justin Fields back. They have some decent pieces that they're trying to work on and get better. Defensively, they're trying to get better. Can they at least find some positives to end the second half of the season, to end the second half? And the Broncos aren't quite where Chicago is. The Broncos are at a point right now where every single week we were saying, if they lose this one, it's time to sell off. It's time to trade. It's time to trade. Well, they survived all of that. And now they got a Buffalo team that's trying to find themselves offensively as well. And how about that? Vance Joseph's defense has been playing better. All the things that we didn't necessarily think would be the reasons the Broncos are making a comeback here are happening. Defensively, Vance Joseph seems like he's getting it. It's hard to believe after what we saw against the Miami Dolphins several weeks ago that this team would even be, like I said, in the land of the living. I thought it was toast. This thing is garbage, and Sean Payton's on the hot seat already. And, you know, you're looking at Russell Wilson thinking, how do I move this contract around? But now you have a chance to salvage all of this. Can they do it? The Broncos have had these moments over the years with Vic Fangio, even with Hackett. When they went over to London and they got the win over Jacksonville, how do you follow it up? You get smoked. Vic Fangio had a moment where he won a few games in a row, and you thought, okay, here's the big game, and then you proceeded to lose 5-6 games in a row, and that was the season. You won two in a row, you just come off your bye, you're fresh. Can you take advantage of that? And the Broncos haven't been able to do that. But this is where I will give Sean Payton his credit. He is not Nathaniel Hackett, who, let's just keep doing the same things and see what happens. Let's keep trying to let Russ do his thing. We're not having discussions anymore about getting the play in or whether he needs a wristband or not. We're not having those chats. We were having those chats this time last year. So you've cleaned up a lot of the nonsense, and it took longer than I thought it would, but you have seemed to clean that up. This is where I think Sean Payton coming in, being the head coach of this team, is different than a Hackett or a Vic Fangio. He can change on the fly. He can look at this team and go, okay, everything we thought we were going to be at the start of the season, we are now changing that, and this is the team we're going to be. Like it or hate it, doesn't matter. This is who we are. Our identity is going to be running the football. Javonte Williams, you're going to see 20-plus. Jaleel McLaughlin, I want to see you get more than four carries. You're probably going to be flirting with that 7 to 10 mark. We are going to run until we're absolutely tired of running, and then we're going to run it some more. And that's when you open up. That's when you can open up some home runs downfield for Russell Wilson. Setting up that play-action game to the best of his ability. And so Russ is going to have to be the kind of guy that plays ball as well. Goes right back to being part of the system. Because when Seattle was winning a Super Bowl and they were going to Super Bowls, it was the Legion of Boom. It was the defense that we talked about mostly. And then it was Marshawn Lynch, and Russell Wilson was thrown in there. But there were other bigger key components to what Seattle was doing when they were successful. That's going to have to, unfortunately, be the case here in Denver, which is kind of ironic because that was the whole reason he left Seattle or wanted out of Seattle in the first place. He was tired of being boxed in. Well, what we've learned, at least through a season and a half, is that a boxed in Russ is probably going to be the better quarterback for you going forward. And I'm very interested in this game. I was not interested, you know, as a Broncos fan and a sports guy and a talk show host, of course I was interested in the Broncos-Chiefs game. But I wasn't holding my breath. I thought Kansas City would cover that thing. And they would go on. And then the Broncos would be in fire sale mode. I did pick them to beat Green Bay, but I still thought they would before the trade deadline, they would be in the, you know, we're going to get just acquire trade picks as much as we possibly can, or draft picks as much as we possibly can. But this team, Sean Payton finds a way to correct a few things. He dives in on the rush, and there we go. Dixon says, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the plan coming in to run the ball? And that's why they went and got Powers and McGlinchey. McGlinchey, they just didn't anticipate being as bad as pass protection as he has been. I guess, because the plan was to get Russell Wilson back to where he was when he was with Seattle. That was the plan, and you saw that. Javonte Williams, if you'll remember, Dixon, was not 100% coming into the season, so I don't think that any of the focus was, yeah, we're going to feature Javonte Williams 100%. It was still, we're going to get Russell Wilson in this cook mode. I do think that Sean Payton has been forced to look in the mirror and say, if I want to salvage this thing, if I don't want to eat some crow at the end of the season and be compared to Nathaniel Hackett, I got to do things a little bit differently. Maybe even against my first inclination to just have a Russell Wilson be Drew Brees. I thought I could make Russell Wilson Drew Brees. That's not the case. So now I've got to make Javonte Williams the feature in this offense. And I think you have the offensive line to do that, to really run the ball well here. And then you set up that play-action game like we really haven't seen consistently since Russell Wilson joined the Broncos. That's what we've been clamoring for. It's what we've been begging for the last couple of, the last year and a half, is we want to see Russ get into this play-action mode. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Game beer of the week is from Breckenridge Brewing. It is a Christmas ale. And I love it. Might pick that up today. It's getting the season, man. I know it's November 10th, but I'm ready. My wife and I are game planning. We're already talking about decorating, so might as well grab some Christmas ale from On the Rocks Liquor. Tasting tonight from Blind Tiger. It's they're doing seltzers galore at Friday at On the Rocks Liquor. And then tomorrow from the Heart Distillery, mixed cocktails and whiskey. So always some great tastings where you can try some new items courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor. Absolutely. They're getting into the season. 1248 the time. It's the whole show. Powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Don't forget, we have the picks coming up. Yeah, it's been rough. It was a rough weekend for all of us, I think, Angel. But it's a weekend of recovery here. I got a full slate of games that we're looking at with all teams in action again, including Monday night, and not playing each other. So it gives us our full slate. All the games, man. UNC in Northern Arizona, Wyoming and UNLV, CSU and San Diego State, Air Force against Hawaii, CU against Arizona, and Denver against Buffalo. So six games.
We're picking Denver today?
Yeah, we're picking Denver today.
Better hope nothing happens.
Nothing will happen, Angel. I guess we could wait, but I'm confident in my pick.
I mean, we can't get to Monday and be like, actually, I want to change my answer.
You can wait if you would like.
No, you do what I do.
But so I'm going to go in at 1:45. We make the picks. And it is desperate times for me. How did you end up doing last week?
2-2.
I went 1-3. So you're keeping a full pace ahead of me.
I'm 28-21. You are 23-28.
Yeah. Oh, we've synced up. I thought you were going to try to cheat me a couple of there, but you're right.
I'm probably off by 4 or 5. But.
No, I think you're good. I've my calculations. I'm 5 games under.
Well, whatever I have for you on here is not always accurate with you. With what yours is.
Well, you've given me some in the past, which I'm not.
I think I've corrected it. I think I just went a couple weeks ago. You told me your record. And I said, okay, I'm going to go off that.
Yeah, I'm 23-28. I looked at it this morning. And what are you at?
28-21.
Okay.
I'm getting close to not being good.
Yeah, 28-21's good. It's respectable. This is a big weekend, though. 28-21's legit. I'll give you that.
It's almost legit.
It's been a weird year, though.
I need to get over 30, and I'll feel better.
Maybe it's going to happen. You'd be over 30 if you'd stop picking the Bears, Angel.
Can't
stop picking the Bears.
Can't
you would be. That's 8 more wins that you should have had. You could be dominating right now.
Doesn't matter. Because at the end of the year, people are out there going to know, hey, that guy doesn't falter with his Bears.
You pick the Bears no matter what.
Yep.
Yep. There's no logic in there anymore.
There's plenty of logic.
What is the logic?
Support my team.
That's not logical. Like, I have teams.
Yeah.
I love the Broncos and I love the Rams, but I've picked them to lose plenty of times this year.
No, it's just when I get one right, it's going to be awesome. Because everyone else picks against them. I'm going to be, I told you
I
so.
I told you so. Even a broken clock, right?
Give me a week. Give me that 1 week when they get their win. I'm going to be
you're
all
running,
in your face.
You're running out of weeks, man. You're running
out of
weeks.
They're going to get one this weekend.
Are they?
Yeah.
You're already making that pick?
Yeah, I picked it on the show, on the morning show.
So what's going on with the quarterback situation?
Shea Money, Coy Kendall, is getting his second career start.
Is he going to start the rest of the way through?
I think so.
Okay.
Former 3-star quarterback he's from Long Beach, so California kid.
All right. Football Friday, it's coming up. I want your picks, too, Hooligans. Crazy Carl's Pizza brings us Football Friday next.